Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
If today you're here and you're missing a father, we have a father that can fill in all those gaps. And if you're here today where your father wasn't so good, I also know that we serve a God that can fill in that gap while we're here on this earth. I feel very blessed today. I have my dad here, and I have my husband here, and I have been fortunate enough to be surrounded by good, godly men. My dad's a girl dad and was so good at being a girl dad. Taught us how to work. We helped him put a roof on. We helped him put siding on. He played ball with us, and you know, and then we'd get all frilly to sing. And I'm always reminded of our neighbor remarried, and we would do our chores, and then we each got a bucket of balls. The 5-gallon bucket. So he'd pitch to us, and we got to hit that whole bucket. Then the next girl came. And Price, who was new to our neighborhood, he said to his wife, "I sure do love to watch Jerry and his little boys play and work in the yard." And she said, "Jerry doesn't have any boys." "Yes," he said, "I watch him play and work." So we walked over there, and she said, "Take your hats off," and we took our ball caps off, and he was just amazed that there were three little girls. So I love the fact my dad never once felt gypped he didn't get a son, and he believed in me from the time that I was a little girl. He told me he was a leader. He told me I was intelligent, and he wanted me to want a man, not need a man. Isn't that good stuff? And then God gave me this godly husband who's been a wonderful dad to our children and believes in me more than I believe in myself. If I just live up to a portion of what you think I am, I'll be doing well. So thank you. And it's an honor to be here. And Pastor Fry, it's really an honor to preach here when you're not here. But it feels very special to me when you're sitting there. So there is power in a name. There is power in the name. Go ahead and let's show that clip.
He started it. Look at you guys. No wonder we're dangling at the bottom of the food chain.
Man, I hate dangling.
Yeah. You know, if it weren't for those lions, we'd be running the joint.
Man, I hate lions.
Pushy.
And hairy.
And stinky.
And man, are they ugly.
Oh, surely we lions are not all that bad.
Oh, Scar, it's just you.
You were afraid it was somebody important.
Yeah, you don't like Mufasa.
Yeah.
I see.
Now that's power.
Tell me about it. I just hear that name and I shudder.
Mufasa.
Ooh. Do it again.
Mufasa. Mufasa, Mufasa, Mufasa!
Ooh, it tingles me.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
Mufasa. Ooh. There's power in a name, but there's power in the name of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, Matthew chapter 1, 20 and 21, Joseph, son of David, said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Names hold meaning. Sometimes when you hear a name, a certain emotion comes to mind. Sometimes that's a positive emotion. Sometimes that's a negative emotion. Sometimes when you hear a name, there's pride behind it. And sometimes with a name can even come shame. Names are powerful. Now, I will tell you that this illustration works better when the Reds are not the last team in the league. Okay? Three worse. Okay, thanks for the update. Last week, they were the last one. I've been going to see the Reds play since I was 3 years old. It is really Tammy's love and my dad's love, but I love to go to the ballpark, okay? I guess when I was three, they would buy me a bag of peanuts, and it would entertain me the whole nine innings. But I began to love it. Tammy's the ticket person. She says, when do you want to go? And she gets the best prices on the tickets, and we go. One summer, we went four times. Is that ridiculous? We live 3 hours away. But Tammy said, hey, do you want to go to red carpet? Oh, sure. I didn't really know what red carpet was. Well, red carpet night is when the players walk right in front of you. And of course, we were first in line because we always have to go so early when we go to the Reds games. Tammy and Jim usually run from gate to gate. I just walk to the gate and watch them take batting practice. I don't have to run to the gate. That's how excited they are. So I have this visor, and I'm thinking, who would I have sign this visor? So first, Aurelius Chapman came out. Remember him? Throws about 100 miles per hour. I was like, he's got to sign my hat. So I've got Aurelius Chapman on there. Then this rookie named Zach Cozart walked by, and I thought, I'm going to take a chance on him. So we got Cozart on there. Then I really wanted Brandon Phillips because I played second base in high school, and he has personality. You know, not many on the Reds had personality, Brandon Phillips. Like, I got to get Brandon Phillips. Then someone named Joey Votto came out, okay? The crowd went crazy. I mean, they were pushing me from behind. I remember saying, you're hurting me, to these men that were behind me. They didn't care. All because they wanted Joey Votto, and yes, Joey Votto is on my visor. Now, he also, look, he made it dirty. He put a mark there. That was his signature. I wish he wouldn't have done that. But there's power in the name. I didn't wear it after that. I thought, you know, maybe it should just sit in my closet in a bag. And once in a while, I say, if someone's a Reds fan, hey, I have a visor with these four names on it. You're due. How did that happen? Well, my sister Tammy, and then I go on to it. There's power in a name. People started to go crazy to get a signature of Joey Votto. I wonder if today we're taking the name of Jesus. Do we get that excited when we hear the name of Jesus? Are we willing to go closer to the rope to just be near when Jesus is working? The English name traces back to the Hebrew name that means God saves. Jesus was God, and he came to save us. All of God was in Jesus. All of God's love was in Jesus. Oh, thank goodness, all of his love. All of God's strength was in Jesus. All of God's compassion was in Jesus. All of God's devotion was in Jesus. And all of God's power was in Jesus. This is why when Jesus spoke, the winds obeyed. When Jesus touched, disease disappeared or shriveled or went away and hid. This is why when Jesus touched, blinded eyes were given their vision. This is why when Jesus touched, deaf ears were restored. This is why when Jesus walked, the water held him. This is why when Jesus taught, crowds were speechless. When's the last time you have been in God's presence and you became speechless? Just in awe of who he is and the power of his name. We have a Savior. His name is Jesus. And there's power in the name of Jesus. Our text today is from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from him. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging by the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them. You see, the Jewish day consisted from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. A good Jew would go to the temple to pray at 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 3 o'clock. Now, they were encouraged to pray outside of those times, but it was very special to go to the temple during those three times. I thought, I wondered if our day was so, or we could go to work, but we could come here and pray at 9 and then come here again at noon and come here again at 3. I thought, I wonder how our days would be if it was around prayer and the temple. Peter and John were doing what was expected of them. They were doing what they were supposed to do. Now, mind you, Jesus had already came to earth. They had walked with him for 3 years, watched him do ministry. They had watched him be crucified. Peter denied him. They watched him arise from the dead, and they were no longer locked in a room. The Holy Spirit had came to them. Jesus had descended up to heaven. So Peter and John are getting ready for something. They know that they're going to have a ministry, but they don't quite know when it's going to break out, so to speak. And so what did they do? They kept doing what was right. You know, maybe what if they would have said, "Well, I'm a disciple, I'm going to start the church, the Christian church, so I'm just going to sit here until God drops it on me." No, do what's right. They kept going to the temple. If you feel like you are in a waiting area of your life, don't just sit and wait. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Keep going to the temple. Keep praying. Keep reading. And God will show you. Because they were doing that on the way to the temple, they see this man that is begging for money. I don't know what made Peter stop. I'm hoping just the Spirit of God. We can do ministry on the way that we're already doing something. Sometimes we see our days as just routine. That isn't how God works. God puts you in places at exactly the right time where he wants you to be. So don't go on not noticing. What if they would have turned away like everybody else did? Don't make eye contact with the beggars. Peter stopped and he said, "What I have, I'm going to give you." And think how bold this was. First time you try it out. "In the name of Jesus, walk." I believe that Peter believed with everything in him and John that that man was going to walk. I believe they knew that the power in the name. Do we have the name of Jesus? do I have and carry the name of Jesus? Are we neglecting maybe the power that it is in the spoken word? You see, we have a sin nature. We're born with it. Did any of you have to teach your child how to steal a toy from another child? Did you have to teach your child to take an extra cookie when you ask him to take one or two? No. Did you have to teach your teenager how to lie to you when they did something they shouldn't have? No. We're born with a sin nature. We entered that world with that sin nature. But Jesus entered the world to take our sin nature from us, so that we can be a people that doesn't walk around where that sin nature is always winning. We can be a people where God restores and we walk with Him and we live and work and move in the power of the name of Jesus, because we're going to walk by someone who needs Jesus. And if we're not listening or looking to God's Spirit, what if they would have just walked by that man? And God had designated that first miracle that was going to prompt the sermon that Peter had been getting ready for his whole life, right? Don't go on the way to church missing what God's going to have you do en route, because God is in all of that. And are we willing to give away? You see, I have that name of Jesus. I know that it's power and it's on the inside of me. But God doesn't want us to keep it in. God wants us to give that power of Jesus to people in need. Acts 4, verse 11 says, Acts 4:11, it is by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we are saved. No other name, only through Jesus Christ. You know, Pastor Latham, I think, was the first when I was licensed to preach and I was becoming ordained. He said, every Christian needs a salvation work. He said, you go and find your favorite and you have a verse that you can always repeat to someone that you can, so no matter what, you can help them know Jesus. He's like, you don't run and get your Bible. You have it in your head and you know it. I chose all those years ago, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I chose that one because it's a heart and a head and a mouth thing. We're not just saying the words. We're putting all of us in it. Do we realize how close Jesus is and how much access we have to the power of his name? When all my kids were home, we have a laundry chute. And that was, they were all in activities. So I had three kids and they had their regular clothes and then their activity clothes. So that was like six sets from kids. Jim was working three jobs. Remember that fun time in our life, and had three different clothes for that. And so when I was doing laundry, I would say, are the neighbors dropping laundry down the chute? Where is all this coming from? And so there was always like a sock or something that would find, and I would just hop right up on the washer and find it and grab it. And so one day I thought, I do not want to hop up on that washer. So I said, Jared, come here for a second. He was like in seventh grade. I said, I lost a sock. See if you can find it. This is what Jared did. He didn't hop up on the washer. He went, video. He went, oh, there's your sock, Mom. Let me get it for you. He walked away. I picked up my phone and went, huh. I could have done that. We have the same phone. And here I am, hopping up like an old lady on the top of a washer and dryer, trying to see what's behind it. Christians, are we walking around with the same Jesus, but only Jared knows how to use it? Do you see what I'm going for here? If Jesus is in our heart, then speak the name of Jesus, because there is power. We have the same phone, but unless we push the button, we're not going to get all that it has for us. Does everybody know exactly what all our iPhones can do?
No.
Will we ever?
No.
Okay, I'm here to tell you, you serve God with all your might 24/7. There will still be stuff that we do not know, because that's how good and mighty our God is. And every year we can speak his name and we'll have more power. And church, our world needs Jesus spoke over them. Turn on the television. What is happening all around us? We don't know who to trust. We don't know who to believe. And our leadership is corrupt. You can't even figure out who's behind it all. I'm here to say Jesus is not corrupt. And get your eyes off man, who will let us down, and put them on Jesus. Do we speak Jesus? Do we speak Jesus? Or do we just go to church? I embarrassed myself one time speaking Jesus. My mom always said, I don't think this is scripture, I think this is mom, whatever you put in there, it comes out. So watch what you put inside there. And so Jared was, it was the semifinals. He was in junior high. We were beating a team that was better than us. It was the last inning. There was two outs. Jared was playing second or short. The big hitter was up. So if the big hitter got a hit, we lost. So the coach calls timeout. I'm keeping book, and he puts Jared in center field. I stood up. I was keeping book, and I thought Jared could catch it, but, you know, no one wants your kid to drop it and lose the game. So I'm keeping book, and I'm starting to pace like this. Of course, they pitch the ball, crack right out to center field. I say aloud, okay? In the name of Jesus, catch that ball. And Jared went back, and caught the ball. We won the semifinal. And then I went. And Tam goes, yeah, I heard ya. So here's the thing. I think God has bigger things to worry about. God loves my son, but he has bigger things for me to pray about than catch that ball in the name of Jesus. But what I found out that day is it's inside me. And when I get nervous and when there's something that I can't control, guess what comes out? In the name of Jesus. Maybe somebody else would have swore when the ball was going there. But I'm putting Jesus in there. And so we're going to live by that. Do we speak Jesus over our heart and over our mind? Do we speak peace in Jesus' name? Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do we speak hope in Jesus' name? Are we going around giving hope to people who don't have hope? 1 John 3:3 says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. I don't know about you, but I could always use more purification inside of me. I could always use more of Jesus. I'm going to meddle a little bit today. Do we speak Jesus over addiction? Because Jesus can be spoke over addiction. My husband had a generational dad and grandpa, and maybe further, of alcoholism in his family. He broke the curse in his generation. And I can tell you, get any kind of help that you need, but we also spoke Jesus over it. And he broke the curse. Our kids did not have a daddy that was an alcoholic. Do we speak Jesus over freedom? I've dealt with many people who have been so wounded and they don't know how to get rid of it and they carry it around like big chains. And I want you to know, I'm so sorry, this world has wounded you. People that we should be able to trust wound us sometimes. But I can tell you, get the help that you need. But we can speak Jesus over freedom. Do we speak Jesus over fear and anxiety? I looked up 31% of Americans and teens today suffer over fear and anxiety. That's 3 people for every 10 who's in this building. Do we speak Jesus over it? Get the help you need. But do we speak Jesus over it? Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, I will help you." I said that verse 5 times a day for a good year and just pictured God taking my right hand and saying to me, "I will help you." Do we speak Jesus over depression? I can tell you that I suffered a trauma, something that I worried about happening. Then it happened, and I thought, here I am, I survived. But then it left me depressed. Now, I went to the doctor and did what the doctor told me. I also went to counseling and did what the counselor told me to do. But church, I spoke Jesus over it on a regular basis. Now, let me tell you what happened through my depression. My counselor would cry when I would tell her things. And I'd say, "Does your counselor cry?" I would ask if you'd be, "Oh no, that never happens." Okay. And I said to her, she said to me one day, "Oh, when I see your name on my schedule, I get excited." My depression. I would tell her what would happen, and then I would tell her how God orchestrated that pain and what was happening. You know what she said to me at the end? I said, "Thank you." She said, "I saw the pain in your eyes. You were shattered." But she said, "Let me tell you something. I've never been a part of something like this, where God just showed you every path to take." And she cried, "I have never seen a situation where God moved like that." Maybe that depression was about her. Do you see where I'm going for this? So yeah, you go to the doctor, you listen, go to counseling if you need to, but speak Jesus over it. Do we speak Jesus over our family? For those of you that have a perfect family, please raise your hand. Raise your hand if your families have never had an argument. Kid has never not listened to what you've told him to do. It's not out there, is it? But I bet if I said to you, "Tell me about your family heartbreak," I bet we could be here till 5 o'clock. Right? Speak Jesus over our family. Speak Jesus. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up." Speak Jesus to your young kids. Speak Jesus to your adult kids. Speak Jesus. And I believe if the church with Jesus inside them starts to speak Jesus to the world around us, first of all, people are going to want what we have. But I also believe God will do his work through his power in his name.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.